Okay, so we have our keynote presentation for the conference. Of course, everybody's been excited about cash tokens over the last year, and I think Matthew has been the most involved person in that from start to finish. He's been making updates as the ecosystem has been growing and thriving. He's been the one making those updates as well as reporting on them. From Belgium, he's most known for his Cash and Eyes wallet, I think, which is recently released on desktop and has been pushing the frontier of what's possible with the cash tokens ecosystem. I'm a regular user. I was just using it in the break, actually, to test out a new DeFi app. So that's always cool. He's also a contributor to CashCrypt. So he's building the wallet. He's building the tools for the wallet. And then he's telling you everything that he's built as well, too, on his educational YouTube channel, Mr. Zwets. You can check that out. There's some technical guides if you're a developer, and there's also some that are just educational, and it's always good to see what's going on. So welcome to the stage, Matthew Hirkins, for State of the Cash Tokens Ecosystem.
Thank you, Jeremy, for that introduction. So I'm happy to present on the state of the cash tokens ecosystem after 1 year. My name is Mathieu, and I've been working as an independent Bitcoin Cash developer on cash tokens for the last year. I've been excited about it and trying to build awareness from even before the cash tokens upgrade launched. So I want to talk why I think the cash tokens upgrade was so exciting and why I think it's a real comeback for Bitcoin Cash. So I tweeted this out just when the cash tokens upgrade activated last year around this time. Cash tokens is the Bitcoin Cash comeback. So we'll take a look to what extent the comeback is in action. Oh. So what is cash tokens even? What's the cash tokens upgrade? It was last year's scheduled yearly hard fork for Bitcoin Cash. It added native tokens to Bitcoin Cash, meaning consensus validated tokens, which are checked by all the full nodes. Also, cash tokens transactions are validatable by Lite clients through SPV. There's two types of cash tokens. There's fungible tokens and non-fungible tokens, or FTs and NFTs. And these serve as building blocks, so as primitives with which you can build different token standards. So they are not one fixed standard, but enable to build standards upon. Cash tokens is first and foremost a smart contract upgrade. So it allows for building advanced decentralized applications. This is because it adds two new functionalities to Bitcoin Cash. It allows smart contract developers to keep local state in their smart contract. So a contract can keep an NFT with a commitment, with commitment data. And here it can remember, for example, how many NFTs were minted or how much tokens it has issued or something along those lines. And a second new capability is contract emitted messages. So contracts can not only remember their own state, but they can also mint an NFT and communicate their state to other contracts. So this way you can have networks of contracts which communicate and interact with each other and keep their own state. And this way it enables advanced smart contracts. Cash tokens is a unique innovation to Bitcoin Cash. So it's not seen elsewhere in the cryptocurrency industry. It's the result of years of research. From right when Bitcoin Cash split off Bitcoin and became its own network, there were already ideas to add native tokens to Bitcoin Cash. The initial proposal was called OpCube. And then we have seen a lot of experimentation with non-native tokens, so tokens which were not in the consensus layer, like SLP, but also many other token experiments. And we learned a lot from all these proposals. And then finally, the cash tokens proposal arrived. And it, because of this focus on smart contracts, it was the proposal that really got accepted and acknowledged to be good enough to finally have a token solution added to the consensus layer. Because this is a big deal, of course, if you add something to the consensus layer, it becomes part of the Bitcoin Cash network, it's checked by all the full nodes, all wallets, it becomes part of the transaction structure. So it is a very high bar to meet. And that's also why it took years of research and discussion and iteration before we saw it being accepted, finally, native tokens on Bitcoin Cash. So why is Cash Token such a big deal? Why the hype? I think the blog post by the author, Jason Dresner, does a great job of introducing it. So the blog post is titled Cash Tokens, Token Primitives for Bitcoin Cash. And in one sentence, it summarizes what Cash Tokens is all about. Cash Tokens enable decentralized applications comparable to Ethereum contract functionality while retaining Bitcoin Cash's over 1,000x efficiency advantage in transaction and block validation. So, as you can see, this one-line introduction compares Bitcoin Cash to Ethereum in some way. And why is this? Why is Ethereum used as a benchmark? As you probably all know, Ethereum is the second biggest cryptocurrency blockchain network, and it's because of its expressive smart contract functionality. And as this sentence says, with Cash Tokens, Bitcoin Cash gets similar expressive smart contract functionality. So it's a big deal because Ethereum has seen an explosion of smart contract use cases, many novel projects launching on it. So now on Bitcoin Cash, the same functionality would be possible. But Ethereum has also a big problem, a scalability problem. Because of its global state architecture and account model, it doesn't scale well. It has inherent scaling problems, and it has seen huge difficulties with this, which results in a congested network and high fees. So something we want to avoid at Bitcoin Cash at all costs. And this is, of course, related to the block size debate, where high fees were also an issue. So by using the UTXO model and using local state, it has an inherent advantage on scalability front because it's hugely parallelizable. So transactions can be validated in parallel, which means it scales way, way better. As it says here, over 1,000x advantage in transaction and block validation. So this means for the fees, for the user, that there is a potential for a much higher capacity. The fees would be low even if we saw 1,000 times the usage of the Ethereum network. So that's why this is such a big deal, is because it enables similar functionality to Ethereum. And we know the EVM is hugely popular, but it solves the scaling problems by using Bitcoin Cash and the UTXO architecture. So that's the promise that I was building excitement for even before the Cash Tokens upgrade launched. But now we're going to take a look. How far are we now? What's the state of things? Oh. I want to talk about the previous slides. I want to talk about this slide. It's how do we know that Bitcoin Cash is a smart contract network? Well, I think one reasonable measurement to see whether or not a certain blockchain is a smart contract network is to see whether it can do AMM DEXs, so automated market maker DEXs, just liquidity pools which enable 24/7 trading of tokens to the native asset. So this famous blog post is titled Constant Function Market Makers, DeFi's 0-to-1 Innovation. So, and I think that's a good summary. So the DeFi 0-to-1 moment was the introduction of automated market makers like Uniswap. And this is something we can use as a benchmark. So today on Bitcoin Cash, we have a live AMM DEX, namely Cauldron. So shout out to the team. So Cauldron allows for any user-created cash token for you to open a liquidity pool so people can trade the cash token to Bitcoin Cash back and forth. So essentially, you can just sell and buy the tokens for Bitcoin Cash. And Cauldron is a standalone app. It's one example, but it showcases that Bitcoin Cash is now a DeFi chain. So blockchains like Bitcoin, Litecoin, Dogecoin, the Generation 1 blockchains, they simply cannot do this DeFi stuff. They cannot do automated market makers. So this is a screenshot from the Cauldron interface. Currently, there is a swap in the preview for Bitcoin Cash to Furu tokens, so you're buying Furu tokens. And then if you want to connect your wallet, you see two options, either using a built-in web wallet or a wallet connect. And Wallet Connect is the second big innovation I want to highlight. So we talked about the AMM DEXs, which are now possible. But Wallet Connect is not just how you get one big decentralized application, not just one smart contract app, but how you can get an ecosystem of different smart contract applications. And as you all know, from using TapSwap to buy a ticket, a Jessica NFT ticket to attend the conference, on TapSwap, there's also Wallet Connect. So if you go to the TapSwap marketplace, the non-custodial marketplace, to buy and sell cash tokens, you will have seen this interface. So this is what you see when you press Connect Wallet. You get a Wallet Connect pop-up, a modal, and at the bottom you see the three current BCH wallets which support this Wallet Connect standard. So you see Cashenize, Paytaka, and Zapit. And this is the start of a whole ecosystem because we just saw two different smart contract applications and we see three different wallets. So then if you use one of the wallets, you will see a transaction preview. So this is an example of a transaction preview. And this says here the balance change, it costs roughly $240 and you would buy an NFT, for example, an NFT conference ticket. So this is what you see. This is the standard, but can work for any smart contract application. So you will see the origin and then details about the transaction. And then at the bottom here, it has an easy overview for what happens in effect. So this is the Wallet Connect standard. And now I want to show the whole ecosystem. So we took a look at two pieces, the two very important pieces, I would say. So for the fungible tokens, it's the AMM DEX, Cauldron specifically. And for NFTs, it's TapSwap, the NFT marketplace, both non-custodial, of course. But there's a whole cash tokens ecosystem. And this is the showcase for it. So we'll shortly discuss all the different logos and icons we see here. So the first four icons are for the wallets. So Cashenize, Zapit, Paytaka, and Electron Cash. So these all support cash tokens. Then the next two icons are for TokenStork and Tokenaut. So these two applications give an overview of the cash tokens ecosystem. On TokenStork, you can see the different fungible tokens. And on Tokenaut, you can see the different NFT projects and some DeFi statistics. So we'll be taking a look at screenshots of both of those in a bit. Then some smart contract applications. We see Cauldron, then TapSwap, then the Cash Token Studio. It's a great project by Paytaka, so it's the third icon on the second row. And it allows you for easily creating your own cash tokens and attaching metadata. And also it follows a standard so you can easily manage your supply of fungible tokens. So if you want to, on an ongoing basis, release cash tokens, fungible tokens into circulation. This allows you to do that even if you're non-technical. So for anyone interested in creating your own cash tokens, highly recommend to take a look at that later. The next three icons are for NFT projects. So the Cash Ninjas, the BCH Gurus, and the BitCats. So these are all applications which are user-facing, so you might have seen some of their promotional material. And then on the lowest row, the third row, we see more infrastructure and tooling. So the first icon is for Wallet Connect, which we discussed. It's an important piece of infrastructure for the cash tokens ecosystem because it allows smart contract apps, dApps, to talk to wallets. Then we see Cash Connect, which is a new standard, which tried to improve on some of the design choices in Wallet Connect. And we see CashCrypt, the language to write smart contracts. So it's also very important for the cash tokens ecosystem to have a language which you can actually write your smart contract applications with. So this is CashCrypt. And then we see the BitAuth IDE, which is a low-level debugger, very handy. Then ChainGraph, which is a very advanced indexer. And this is also an important innovation that powered this cash tokens ecosystem because currently you can because of it, you can do complex queries about cash token transactions. So, for example, if you want to get all UTXOs containing a certain token, that's now easily possible with ChainGraph. And then lastly, but very importantly, is Libot, which is a JavaScript library, which is powering much of the applications you see on screen. So that's the ecosystem you see after 1 year. And what are some of the takeaways? Well, a huge amount of infrastructure was needed. So this is some of the things I just showed off on the last row, but also first the full nodes needed to be upgraded. Then there needed to be wallets. The wallets needed their own libraries. So they first needed libraries to upgrade to cache tokens. Then you need wallets, but you also need block explorers. Then you have metadata for all the tokens, so you need a different indexer for the metadata. So you can quickly see that there's many different layers which need to work together. And after this first year, we have kind of seen all the layers come together. So a lot of groundwork has happened in this first year, and I think we have a solid basis, foundation for the coming years. And then Flipstarter. It played a huge role in funding this initial ecosystem. So if I go one slide back, so Flipstarter has helped funding for CacheNize. It has helped funding for Electron Cache, for Cauldron, for Wallet Connect, for CacheCrypt. So you can see many of these projects are funded in part by Flipstarter. So Flipstarter has been a very important innovation to actually make sure that this cache tokens ecosystem got off the ground. And then generally, a ton of innovation happened. For example, this Wallet Connect standard, the Cache Connect standard, also the BCMR indexers, also innovation on the smart contract front. For example, with the Cache Ninjas, we needed to design a minting contract, but there wasn't a publicly available minting contract we could use, so you need to design your own. So that's also counted as innovation. Innovation in how to implement smart contracts. For example, the Cauldron team was the first to innovate on AMM DEX design. Innovation on all fronts, I would say. Then let's take a look at the overview for the cache tokens ecosystem through Tokenaut. So you can find this website at tokenaut.cache. And if you go to the dApps page, this is what you'll see. So it has an overview of different dApps, and then when they were launched, whether it's Wallet Connect and whether it's open source. So here you hopefully see some recognizable icons. First, I want to talk about the apps that launched before the Cache Tokens upgrade. So you see BCH Bull launched in 2022. Then we see Cache Shuffle launched in 2019. Cache Fusion launched in 2020. So there's and Flipstarter launched in 2020 also. So there's a few very important apps, or dApps, I would say, because they're using special transactions that have been launched before the smart contract, before the Cache Tokens upgrade. But if we filter down, which of these dApps use smart contracts, so not just special transactions, but specifically smart contracts, you will see that only BCH Bull from this whole list launched before the cache tokens upgrade. Or another way to say it, pretty much this whole list of cache tokens, of smart contract dApps, has launched since the cache tokens upgrade. So it's a pretty impressive list. So I think we did a good job as a community, as a blockchain ecosystem, to enable this innovation and to actually experiment with some of the capabilities that are now enabled. And also, if you take a look at the Wallet Connect column, you see that Wallet Connect is really tying the ecosystem together. So instead of having different built-in web wallets, which each dApp using its own built-in web wallet and doing the work over and over, it just standardized in one nice way and which wallets and dApps can plug into. So if we quickly go over them, Cauldron, BCH Guru, which is Cache Connect, TapSwap, Cache Token Studio, Cache Ninjas, BitCats, Emerald DAO, and the upcoming Badgers.cache. So Wallet Connect is really proving to be an important standard. And the list of dApps is already quite impressive in my opinion, but this will only grow because the Cache Tokens, the foundation is there for the whole ecosystem. And this is the overview, what you'll see on Tokenaut if you press the DeFi tab. So this is a curated list, meaning that it's a selection of the dApps I found some statistics for. So of course, at the top, you can see AnyHedge, which has an impressive total value locked. It's with a slight delay, but I know it's over $10 million. So at the time of the screenshot, it was over 12,000 BCH with more than 20,000 contracts completed. And so this list is shorter than the all dApps, of course, because it only accounts for the contracts which fall in the DeFi category. Then you see Cauldron coming in second, and TopSwap and BCH Guru. So this is a longer list than before the cash tokens upgrade, because there would only have been AnyHedge. But I think in a year from now, this list of DeFi will be at least as long as the list of dApps we saw before. There will be 10 or 20 of these DeFi protocols. And the total value locked is now really in the incubation stage. So it's it's very small if you look at the broader cryptocurrency ecosystem. But once the pieces are falling together, this can quickly explode. And this is the last tab on TokenAlt, which is the NFT projects. So NFT projects are relevant because they generate funding. So you see BCH Guru on top, which has sold the most NFTs. And then some of them are actually bridged NFT projects, which I found really interesting. So because the smart BCH ecosystem kind of collapsed, many of these NFT projects wanted to come over and try out cash tokens. So now we see that some of the most popular NFT projects on cash tokens are actually bridged NFT projects. So the NFTs were already minted, but we then ported over to the Bitcoin Cash blockchain. So the second one which generated revenue on Bitcoin Cash with a mint is the Cash Ninjas, and on the third place, the Bitcats. And why do I find this relevant, these NFTs? Not just because it's collectible pictures, but because it's another way to provide funding for projects. For example, the BCH Guru NFT project built this prediction interface where you can bet on the price of different crypto assets going up or down with a specific price target. And it's currently one person to one person. Then another example of dApps being built by NFT projects is the BitCats, enabled part of the BitCats roadmap by the Paytaka team, was this Cash Token Studio, which I recommended you all to try. So this is the interface. It says create token, and then you have your own key, your authorization key to manage the supply, and then you just fill in some details, and this will be automatically uploaded to IPFS. So you fill in the max supply, the decimals, the token name, things you would expect. And then by just filling in these boxes, and IPFS is automatically taken care of, you can easily create your own cash tokens. So this is also innovation, at least in part, made possible by the funding provided through the NFT mints we saw earlier. So this is the mint revenue is how I try to guesstimate the amount of funds earned. So it is simply the amount minted and sold times the current minting price, and then you get that amount. So for the BCH Guru project, this is almost 420 BCH, and the Cash Ninjas and BitCats is over 70 BCH. So I think this is another way of funding. So we currently don't have seen any ICOs on cash tokens, but we have seen this as a funding mechanism. So I thought that was quite interesting. So let's take things in perspective. I said this can work as a funding mechanism. So actually, by buying these NFTs, I think you at least in some extent enabled the development of the smart contracts apps we just saw. But if you take a look at these different NFT projects, so in orange, we see the amount was minted or sold. So this is the same stats on the last slide. But then in blue, there's a new statistic about the number of unique addresses. So this is an approximation for the number of different users, right? This does include TopSwap addresses. So the real number is slightly lower if you just want to know the number of users. And if you take a look for BCH Guru, this would be a little less than 400 users. For the Cash Ninjas, this would be 200. And for the BitCats, this would be 270. So in my opinion, these are very low numbers. So we see that the cash tokens technology still is not in the hands of very many people, or at least not very many different people, because the amount of NFTs minted and sold is a lot higher. So the people who are enthusiastic about this, I can imagine some are in the room. They probably own tens of BCH of gurus or cash ninjas. So thank you for helping fund the infrastructure I just talked about. So it's really not just collecting an image. I think it's also taking part in the building and funding of the ecosystem. So that wraps it up for NFTs. And then I want to show a screenshot of Token Stoic and talk a little bit about the fungible tokens. So you also might recognize some of these logos. So Furu Tokens is related to the Guru project. Then Cauldron Socks is related to the Cauldron DEX, which you could actually swap for real socks. So maybe some of you... I see it right there in the audience. Awesome. And then Zapit is, of course, related to the Zapit wallet. But if you take a look at this total value locked for the different tokens, so of course this number changed and this screenshot is a week old or so, but the biggest project is Furu with $8,000 in TVL, which is, of course, tiny. So I think that the NFT ecosystem is further along. The NFT cash tokens are further along than these fungible tokens, because the projects we see there are not very mature still, so it's early stage. And I think it will grow once there's good integrations to, for example, yield tokens or tokens which have some governance functionality, whereas now the current tokens don't really have use in specific smart contracts. But once a token can give you access to, for example, if it's like equity and you receive dividends, then of course your token might be a lot larger than we see the current tokens today. One thing I want to emphasize is the power of network effect. So network effect is incredibly powerful, and really with cash tokens we are still at the stage of converting one user at a time. So if there's anyone here who hasn't really tried out a lot of cash token stuff, we really need to onboard those users first, because you're at a Bitcoin Cash conference, what do you expect? So we need to get those people first, and then we need to get the wider BCH community involved. So many people in BCH are mainly focused on the peer-to-peer electronic cash, so the payments aspect, but we can make it a cash system. We can make it so that tokens are actually something useful that you can exchange your Bitcoin Cash for, that they can have some revenue scheme and actually provide you yield in some kind. So Bitcoin Cash can be a real savings technology also. So I would say that this is the logical progression, to first get a wider BCH ecosystem involved. And one reason why I say that is because, we know the BCH community is quite large, but also very fragmented. So it's sometimes people don't know about the innovations that is taking place on the technical side. And also with the Cash Ninjas, as I showed, we tried to bridge some NFTs from the Smart Bitcoin Cash Network. So it's a different community, and I thought maybe they are already very familiar with DeFi and with NFTs. Maybe they will be the first one to really jump aboard the cash tokens ecosystem. But what we saw is there's a real hurdle. If you're used to EVM and MetaMask, if you need to download a new wallet, and they were also really just passionate about Smart Bitcoin Cash, which is not the same as Bitcoin Cash, so it was hard to move these users over. Whereas people already in the wider BCH ecosystem, I think they will be glad to try out some of these new dApps and actually see, I didn't know Bitcoin Cash could do this. And before it couldn't, but since last year, now we can. I think the essential pieces of the ecosystem are there, so AMM DEXs, marketplaces, Wallet Connect. But to take off, there's definitely a need for entrepreneurial ventures. What this means is people who want to take risk to discover new revenue streams. So I said NFTs have provided some way for projects to find revenue, but maybe we will see ICOs, maybe we will see more of Flipstarter, although it's not really a business model. Maybe we will see some kind of yield tokens or dividends, but really finding a revenue model, a business model, and pursuing this in an entrepreneurial way, then you have a clear goal to maximize the number of users and the revenue. And that also provides a sustainable way to grow, right? So then projects are not just pop up and die after a year or so, then it becomes sustainable to maintain this over the long run. And I think it's really a community effort. Maybe not everyone was involved in designing the cash tokens upgrade, but we can all be involved in just spreading the word about it, having someone try it out, learning the basics, evangelizing even. So that's one important thought on network effect. Then I want to talk about Cash Connect. So Cash Connect is one more important innovation in the cash tokens ecosystem. So this is what you would see if you want to try out Cash Connect. It's currently still in pre-alpha, but should soon, in a few weeks or a month, it should release as a version 1. So currently, it's in pre-alpha in CacheNize. But what Cache Connect enables is you see here not just a preview of the transaction, but of details of the smart contract. So, for example, if you use a BCH Guru, that's currently the one big application using Cache Connect, if you make a session and you place a bet for your prediction, you predict, for example, that the Bitcoin price is going to fall, and then you will see something like this. You will see a PVP full offer lock, and then it has the different details right there. So then you can much more clearly understand you're just not just sending money to a black hole smart contract address where you don't understand what's going on, kind of like a black box. But here you can, in an easy way, inspect what is going on. You can understand expiry time, you can understand stake amounts, you can understand what these different parameters mean. Even if Oracle public key is already technical for you, for some people it will be able to validate this easily, whereas with Wallet Connect, it's still a black hole what this smart contract address is doing. So this is a big advantage, and of course this interface will get easier. So now there's a lot of information about the in and outputs, but over time this interface will get polished, so only the relevant aspects about this smart contract transaction will get displayed to the user. And also once BCH Guru becomes a known and audited template, it could have a green check mark saying this is a known auditable template, so then you know the contract is doing what it says it's doing. Only you need to take a look, does this have the right expiry time that I set in the DAP interface? So then if you use some new unknown DAP that you have never used before, but you connect to it and it says known template, using the Cauldron AMM DEX contract, then you know, okay, this is using a trusted template. Then you just need to make sure that these actual parameters are correct, that the amount that you actually want to swap is the same as the amount you intended to swap, and that, for example, the token ID is correct. So you can, with a minimum amount of checking, you can really fully understand what complex transaction is taking place. And this is something we don't even see in the Ethereum ecosystem, where still a lot of mistakes and bugs and loss of funds happen because it's not clear when what a DAP is doing, what authorization it has. So I think we're on very solid footing, and this is also an industry-wide innovation. So I think other blockchains, it would be mainly for UTXO chains, but they can really look up to Bitcoin Cash and see what we are doing and learn something from us. So this is just a screenshot that I should have showed in larger letters. Then where do we go from here? What's the future? So I have listed some things that I think are important for the coming year, for example. But of course, many developers will think on what they think themselves is interesting. But these are some broad predictions and guidelines. So we see a push towards native wallets. There's many different players interested in this. So what does it mean, native wallet? It's a wallet that fully understands Bitcoin Cash transactions. So also the smart contract transactions or the wallet, anyone can pay transactions, all aspects of Bitcoin Cash transactions, the wallet should be able to understand. So Cash Connect, in my opinion, is a key piece in this because it improves upon Wallet Connect in this way we just saw, where we can have templates which can be verified or which can be like a known templates which have issues, we can display a warning, like known scam template or something like that. So these are the contract templates, part of Cash Connect, that are so important. And then parsable NFT commitments. So what will be much more common in the future if you interact with a pool, for example, you provide liquidity or you stake some token, that you get a receipt back. You get a token back, but this token is not directly useful, but it's a receipt. So you can show it back to the contract, and then the contract can validate this, and it knows, oh, this is a valid receipt. You contributed this stake amount. So, for example, then you can withdraw this stake amount, or you can earn profits on this stake amount, it can check some other aspect of your position. For example, maybe you're entitled to some funds, some profits, and how to display this to the user. So this is parsable NFT commitments. You have some receipt, some NFT with commitment data, so just NFT data, and it has some important information, like how much did you stake. So it's important that wallets can say, okay, this is a receipt for this liquidity pool, and it says that you contributed or staked this amount at this time So it's for the user clear that this NFT in this wallet is actually very valuable, because if they use the wallet, lose the wallet, or if they send the NFT away, then they also send the receipt away. So then they can no longer unstake their tokens or whatever. So this aspect is parsable NFT commitments. And it's also still an area for research. So the metadata standard, the BCMR standard, was designed with this in mind from day one. So it's awesome that this is capable of this, but we haven't seen this in any applications yet. So we might run into some issues or might have to rethink some things. So this is a big area for research and development. Then let's talk about the next upgrade, the increased VM limits. So this is what's currently being researched and discussed for the upgrade for the 2025. So not the Abla tomorrow is what I'm talking about, but for next year. Because currently, if you want to use smart contracts in your inputs, so if you do a smart contract transaction, you might use one or multiple smart contracts in your inputs. But each smart contract in your inputs can only contain 201 opcodes, which is very small, and 520 bytes. And this is a limit that pretty much all smart contract developers have run into. And it's a limit that we inherited from BTC. So it's not a useful limit, and not useful. It's badly designed. It doesn't really prevent the worst case as well, which is doing many signature checks. But it does prevent the useful applications. So we want to design these VM limits as soon as possible. Hopefully we can have it on chipnet in May, so developers can already play with these higher limits and do more complex transactions. So that's something very important for the future, these increased VM limits, so we can do even more with smart contract transactions. And then also, a second slide of what I think we'll see in the future is synthetic pegged assets. So for example, a token linked in price to the US dollar, but also maybe to gold. Currently, we see hedging contracts, which also simulate the price. So if you make them tradable, they're kind of like synthetic assets, but only for a short time period. With new designs, you can have this for an indefinite period. So this is something I think can be really big in the coming year. I know a stable coin on cash tokens has already been announced, MUSD, so it will be interesting to see how that goes. Then one big item also for the future is an improved Oracle setup. Currently, there's only one set of production Oracles being run on Bitcoin Cash, and then you need to trust a single Oracle. So it would be nice if we can have either fallback Oracles or can provide some kind of business incentive for running Oracles. So there's actually a profit model. Whereas currently, Oracles are kind of like a public good where you have all the burden, all the cost, but no direct benefits or no direct business model. So this is something we need to improve upon and solve. I think it's very important for the future of the cash tokens ecosystem, because much of DeFi uses Oracles. You need information about the real world. So if you just trust one Oracle, then it's not too secure, especially if they don't have any funding. Then they might see, if I can exploit this contract, this is my way of revenue, my funding, which is what we want to absolutely avoid, that Oracles get exploited in this way. Yield and staking, that's what I mentioned in the beginning, that we can get the broader Bitcoin Cash ecosystem involved once they can relatively safely earn some percentage interest on their Bitcoin Cash, which they are willing to lock up in some pool. So these funds would provide some economic function. They can be doing some borrowing and lending. They can be providing liquidity and earning fees. But something to the extent that money can passively earn you some interest, this is a real opportunity. And I think if projects can realistically and transparently promise this, this opens the door for people with whales with a lot of BCH just lying around in long-term cold storage to actually participate in the economy and make this liquidity do something useful instead of just sitting around. And then the last item is cross-chain bridges. So it's hard to build good bridges, especially if you want to do two-way bridges. But I think we will see a lot more experimentation, both with projects coming to cash tokens, but also cash tokens which are launched on cash tokens itself, wanting to go multi-chain. So Curse Chain Bridges is still an area for research. Do you want to do it as a trusted setup, maybe a federated setup? How trustless can we actually make these cross-chain bridges? Maybe we can do something like drive chain, where we trust minimize the way different blockchains talk to each other. So this is what I envision for the future of the Cash Tokens ecosystem for the coming year. Here is my new slogan. Instead of Cash Tokens is the Bitcoin Cash comeback, watch. Cash Tokens is the Bitcoin Cash comeback, join. Thank you, everyone.
So we're going to do some questions, I think, actually, on this one. And so if you have a question, just put your hands up and I'll come around. But I have a question first, which is, you mentioned about building network effect, which obviously means promotion and documentation. How are we doing on those two things and what can we improve there?
On the documentation side, I would say it's very lacking. So if people want to come in and they just go to cashtokens.org, there is some very technical documentation, but not of how to actually get started building dApps. So what people should do, but that's often not how they enter, is join a bunch of Telegram groups and just ask questions, and then they get pointed in the right direction. But this is not a great way of doing documentation. So there's definitely area for improvement. But I think this also just scales with the amount of new developers we see. So if there's 10 developers coming in asking the same question, then we also realize, oh, maybe we need to make a document to just standardize this. So I think with scale, we will see documentation improve just because it's clear that there's actual demand. But for now, some of the things are still, like with Cash Connect, are still being figured out. So it's logical that the documentation isn't finished because the tech is evolving so rapidly.
Hey, Matthew. So one thing that wasn't mentioned here is how much Matthew has helped so many people, I think, in this room at General Protocols and other people. So really, thank you so much for being just so generous with your time and helping so many people with documentation, explaining things, getting people excited, and then also on the technical side, just helping people come up with designs and everything. So he's done a lot of work in the background to help the whole BCH ecosystem. Yeah, seriously, thank you. So I also had a question. So you mentioned that the P2P electronic cash. Of course, there's a lot of people in BCH, all of us maybe, who that's very important to us. And you said with Cash Tokens, we can do other things like assets and so forth. But could you encourage those people to, or show them how all these other things on Cash Tokens aren't independent of that, right? That the stuff that we're working on is actually P2P electronic cash and the system part of it. Could you kind of give some examples what you think about how it's not really distinct from P2P electronic cash, but it's really the same thing?
Definitely. So I think one broad point to make on this is that smart contracts are also useful for the cash use case. So when we enabled introspection, we saw, for example, last will contracts with and HODL contracts. There's also recurring payment contracts that suddenly become possible. So there's a lot of auctions, things like that, which are clearly cash related, which are now possible. For the people who are skeptical about all the tokens, so it also enables meme coins, but it's very important that the tokens, like for example, meme coins and collectible NFTs, were more like a side accident. That's not what the Cash Tokens upgrade is about. It's really about these smart contracts and complex smart contract use cases. So I think there's no denying that things like Uniswap and Aave and MakerDAO, that they are useful designs and that people really want them. So it's not some fad that will be going away. There's real economic design and a lot of revenue being generated, tons of users. So if we can replicate this success, then we will bootstrap our own network effect. And so that's really what I believe. Looking at the success of Ethereum, I think it's pretty much undeniable that they have found a good working solution to get their network effect bootstrapped.
Do you have another question? All right, well, I've got one more then.
Shoot.
A lot of people have been asking as well recently about privacy, obviously, with the context of all the stuff that's going on in the world, the increasing crackdowns, and some people are interested in privacy tokens or if they can use their tokens privately or how is that going to interact with the main ecosystem. How are we looking on that front with regards to cash tokens and privacy?
Yeah, I think the best answer I have for you is that it's ongoing research. So we have Cash Fusion and Cash Shuffle. So for Bitcoin Cash, we already have for UTXO chains kind of the best non-consensus privacy. So really Cash Shuffle and Cash Fusion, they push the envelope. But for the cash tokens itself, we haven't seen this research yet. So it's some of these protocols maybe can be used, but it will have to be seen to what extent the liquidity is there, and yeah, it faces some unique difficulties. So privacy tokens, maybe, but ongoing research. That's kind of my...
Matteo, have you checked if you can send cash tokens to RPA wallets in Electron Cash? It would be something for privacy.
Oh yeah, that's a good question. No, I haven't had the time yet to check out the reusable payments.
Cash Fusion is not really possible with tokens. There is not enough liquidity, but maybe RPA would be the way.
Yeah, it would be great to see some to get this discussion started, and do maybe here is a great opportunity to get some right minds together. I'm not sure exactly how that would work, but maybe we can figure it out.
All right, any more? Yep.
What point do you think we can focus? We can switch the focus from infrastructure development to marketing.
Yeah, that's a tough question because I don't think with a decentralized ecosystem you can really switch the focus. So it will be something that kind of happens organically, I think. So for example, with these NFT projects, first they focus on getting their tech working and preparing their launch. But then once they're launched, then they go full marketing mode. So I think it's the same for other projects launching on Bitcoin Cash. First they need to make sure that all their tech works and their infrastructure. But once they have the infrastructure set up and they have funds to raise, or tokens to sell, or whatever, then they really focus as a project on promoting Bitcoin Cash. And also then they do like kind of a part of the bidding for us because their users will need to have Cash Tokens wallets. They will need to use Wallet Connect. So these projects building on Cash Tokens have to do part of the education, of course, themselves to get users set up with the necessary wallets and with these standards like Wallet Connect. So, yeah.
Great talk. So you mentioned one Oracle setup, and then also you mentioned later one stablecoin that's been announced. Can you say a bit more about those two things, please?
I don't think I'm the right person to talk about the details because it's not my project. But the general design is if you look at the Bitcoin Cash Research Forum, there's a thread on how to do synthetic assets using a peg mechanism similar to Liquity, so similar to something we see on Ethereum, which is much simpler than MakerDAO. So MakerDAO is quite complex, so this has a synthetic asset DAI, which follows the USD price. But with Liquity, you don't need like auctioning systems and you don't have a governance overhead with voting contracts, so it's much more stripped down. So that's a really interesting research thread. And to what extent it's being implemented will have to be answered by the Riften Labs team.
Any more? One more?
Are there any other use cases that you can imagine that we haven't really been tapping into yet involving cash tokens?
Yeah, definitely. I think the use cases are so broad that it's hard to pinpoint some exactly. But what I think has the most merit is to just look at established use cases in crypto. So then we don't need as much failing projects because the idea was wrong. We can look at EVM blockchains and see what's working there. And usually what you see is you see at least a big AMM DEX, for example, Uniswap. You see a money market like Aave. You see something like synthetic assets with MakerDAO or Liquity.
But this is
9.999999 speculation. Can you think about something in real life?
No, but if you dismiss something as speculation, then you just dismiss the user. So it's not because you think something is speculation that it's not valuable or worth doing. Yeah, so if you think something is not worth pursuing, then you should not pursue it. But other people, it's a decentralized network, so other people will permissionlessly pursue what they think is interesting.
I am asking if you have any ideas for...
Yeah, so what I just mentioned. So I think Aave is super useful, to me, undeniably useful. I think MakerDAO is super useful, undeniably useful. I think Uniswap is super useful, undeniably useful. So they all have billions of dollars worth of liquidity locked. So yeah, that's what I would be looking at to build something. That's a proven ID. So if you dismiss all the big DeFi projects, yeah, then it can seem like there's not much to offer in DeFi, but it's just because you dismissed everything that has $1 billion worth of liquidity. So I think
I am not dismissing it. I am just saying there are different uses. It's what people do, right? So I'm not saying it's bad or something. It's what people do, but I am thinking about something to help me in real life, not in gambling, too.
Here's one thing. Everybody here bought a Bliss ticket, right? An NFT cash tokens. And
that's speculation, I think.
one over here. All right.
What is the best way for an artist who doesn't know what's going on in the background to utilize the cash tokens ecosystem and getting their work to market?
So definitely trying out the token creator by Paytaka. It's an easy website, and you can just experiment with it on a test network, so you don't even have any funds that you're actually spending. So that's a way to get familiar with the kind of the process. But then if you're an artist and you want to, yeah, you should have a digital art that you can sell and somehow link this to the blockchain through the token creator. And then you need to build up some people who have interest. If you, for example, list your NFTs on TapSwap, you will be one of the many NFTs. So you need people who are interested in your art or know you as an artist. And indeed, NFTs in this aspect, like art NFTs, are in part speculation. So it helps if people think they will go up in value, because then you have buyers who intend to resell them later. So yeah, finding people who are interested in your art and building your own community is definitely a way to go. Also, because cash tokens is so new, you can also just talk to the developers, for example, of TapSwap and say, oh, I would like an artist community page. And if you pitch it and you say why it would be helpful, then I'm sure the developer would be open to having an artist page or maybe profile pages for artists. So all this is possible, and we see some of this on, for example, OpenSea. So yeah, I would always encourage to look at the existing things that work on bigger and more established DeFi chains and do those. So don't reinvent the wheel, because there's a bunch of square wheels lying in hidden closets. So you don't want to reinvent the wheel. You want to see what's working and try to do that.
All right, one more round of applause for Matthew. All right, so we're running pretty much on time. It's midday, and we'll just have lunch now. So we've got an hour and a half for that. We'll be back at about 1:30. And Jet told me when we were having the break earlier that he put up the starting soon graphic, and our traffic kept going up. So the conference and BCH is so interesting, even if there's nothing happening. More and more people want to find out what's going on, and then yeah, it went even higher during that talk. So the world is definitely watching. So I'll see you back here in 90 minutes. We're going to have some lunch just out here, just where we were before for the break, and then after that it'll be the open house section, and you can all have a chance to try some BCH apps. All right.